ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Canto 3, Chapter 20, titled Conversation between Maitreya and Vidura, and text number 3. Daipayana anovaro. Daipayana anavaro mahitte tasya dehaja mahitte tasya dehaja sarvatmana shrita krishna sarvatmana shrita krishna प्राणश्चापि अनुव्रतः तत्परांश्चापि अनुव्रता दैपायानानावरो सर्वात्मनो श्रीकृष्णम् तत्प्राणश्चापि अनुव्रता दैपायानात् फ्रॉम व्यासदेव अनावरः इन नो वे इन्फीरियर Mahitve, in greatness, Tasya, his Vyasas, Dehaja, born of his body, Sarva Atmana, with all his heart, Shrita, took shelter, Krishna, Lord Krishna, Tatparam, those devoted to him, Cha and Api also Anuvrata follow. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Vithura was born from the body of Vyasadeva and was not less than he. Thus he accepted the lotus feet of Krishna wholeheartedly and was attached to his devotees. We will repeat the translation. Vithura was born from the body of Vyasadeva and was not less than he. Thus he accepted the lotus feet of Krishna wholeheartedly and was attached to his devotees. We look at the purport, a short one by Srila Prabhupada. The history of Vithura is that he was born of a Sudra mother, but his seminal father was Vyasadeva. Thus he was not less than Vyasadeva in any respect. Since he was born of a great father, who was supposed to be an incarnation of Narayana, and who composed of all Vedic literatures. Vithura was also a great personality. He accepted Krishna as his worshipable Lord and followed his instructions wholeheartedly. ओम अज्ञानति मरंदस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाकय चक्षु उन्मिलितमेन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामहं तदाति स्वतदा। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे राम। हरे कृष्ण So here in the purport, it is said that Vithura is born of Sudra mother, but his seminal father was Vyasadeva, and he was not less than Vyasadeva in any aspect. He was born of a great father who is supposed to be an incarnation of Narayana. He accepted Krishna as his worshipable Lord and followed his instruction wholeheartedly. Now, Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, in the 16th chapter, that there are two classes of people. The divine and the demonic. Or you can say devotees and non-devotees. Now the devotees, they follow the Lord's instruction. They follow the rules and regulations. But the non-devotees, they do not follow. Now, what is the reason for that? They are also humans. But the non-devotees do not follow. What is the reason? So, that is what happens. A soul, right, in the material world is covered by two layers of matter. Satchitananda component of the Lord. We are all part and parcel of Krishna. So we are Satchitananda Vigraha. Satchitananda Vigraha is the Lord. Because we are a part, we are Satchitananda component of the Lord. That means Satch means eternal. Chit, full of knowledge. And Ananda, happy. The soul does not need the body, in fact. Because already happy. The body is a nescience. But the soul has to function in the material world. Right? Now this Satchitananda component of the Lord, part of the Lord, is covered by two layers of matter. What are the two layers? The gross layer and the subtle layer. It is covered, right? Now after this body is created, the body is created by the demigods. After the body is created, the Supreme Lord, in the form of Paramatma, he enters into every living entity and activates the 11 senses, including the mind. The Lord activates the senses. So, when the living entity gets this body, right, he misidentifies the soul and thinks that he is a body. And what happens? Because of the misidentification of this body, he chooses a wrong field of activity. Right? He chooses. He thinks, yes, I'm supposed to enjoy the material nature because I got my senses. The interaction for a living entity, right, with the material world is his senses. Right? One has to see, one can hear, one can talk, one can taste. So with this interaction, he enjoys the material energy. And what happens? Because he enjoys, or because he reacts with the material energy, he gets the reaction back. So, impelled by the reaction of his own action, a living entity undergoes birth in various species of life. sometimes high, sometimes low. A living entity is responsible for his own action. You cannot blame this person is a cause. You are only the cause for whatever is happening. Right? So impelled by the reaction of his own action, a living entity is, he just transmigrates into various species of life. Sometimes as a dog, sometimes as a tiger, sometimes as a bird. And what happens? He goes through 8.4 million species of life to get this human form. The human form is not just given to you like that. Right? See, if you do not want to believe, or if you don't believe, in the material world, everything you have to work for it. See, you may have some possession, for example, car or a house. You have to work for it. Did anyone get anything free in your material life except prasadam from Radha Ballabha? You have to work for it. Right? You have to work to get the dollars and accordingly you have to get. Doesn't matter whether it's a phone or something. Even you're paying for the water too, you know. In those days, you know, when I was young, I don't think I was in South India basically, you know. The government was not charging us for water. It's a fact. This was probably, you know, some 30 years back, right? Can you believe that? We were not paying water. It was free, given by the municipality of Coimbatore. Free water. But we have to pay for Melbourne water. Correct? In dollars. We have to pay. So nothing is free. Right? You pay for it. In the material world, that's how it works. You have to work hard. Right? A donkey has to work very hard for his master, lifting the loads. But he does not know that the grass is available. You know? No intelligence. People don't have intelligence. If they have intelligence, they waste it in something else. They don't think. Like high thinking, we'll come back in a minute, right? High thinking is very, very important. Simple living, high thinking. So in the same way, we have to go through various species of life in the material world, which comprises of the material energy. And finally, after 8.4 million species of life, finally you are given this body, human form. Right? Now, in this human form, one has got two activities. Right? One can go forward or one can go backwards. Like a tape recorder, you know, or like a car. You know, you can use your car. See, if your body is like a car and the soul is like a driver, right? With the driver, right? With the soul, you can move the car forward or backward, right? Now, moving forward means taking up the devotional life. You go up. Moving backwards means you stay in the three modes, enjoy, and you degrade yourself. Why? Because every action in this material world causes reaction. Newton's third law. To every action, there is equal and opposite reaction. It produces an action. Definitely produces an action. Krishna has employed 33 million demigods to manage the universal affairs. It's a big structure. And the law of karma is very, very, very intricate. Right? Very intricate. Everything is based on the law of karma. For example, Someone may be walking, you know, and then he may be hit by a car or something. It is karma. You can say, this person has hit me. He did not drive properly. That's true. He did not have a proper driver's license. That's true. But the law of karma acts in such a way that that guy will not have a license. He will take a car which does not have a brake and he will hit you. This is law of karma. But what we see is, that guy, you are the cause of my problem. But he is also three modes. It's created by the three modes for a purpose, to trouble us. So, if someone is wise enough, they will be engaged in the Lord's service. Why? Because it's beyond the three modes. Okay. Now, coming back into the three modes, why would someone say, do not stay in the material energy, you transcend? Krishna himself says to Arjuna, transcend the three modes. Do not be in the material energy. Be in the spiritual energy and always do service to me. Right? The Lord says that. Why does he say that? Because if a living entity, right, if he associates with the three modes, material energy, he has to face seven kinds of problems. Is it good problem? One problem, for example, you know, a car is breakdown or something, the whole day is disrupted. Right? And if someone does not have a job, then maybe 1 year it is disrupted. Simple problems. But this problem, seven kinds of problem, the whole life is gone with this problem. What are the problems? The problem is not getting a job or getting a permanent resident in Australia. What is the problem? The problem is birth, death, old age, disease. That's a problem. Why do we say that's a problem? A problem we call it because it is common to everyone. This problem is common to everyone. For example, I may not have a job, you may not have a car, someone may not have a house. That's an individual problem. But when do you say it's a problem? It's common to everyone. This problem, birth, death, old age, disease, is common to? Can anyone in this room please put up your hand if you are not going to die, please? If you think you are not going to die, I would like to see. Can you please put up your hand? Okay. If someone thinks that they are always going to remain very young and beautiful, not becoming old, please can you put up your hand? So you will get old, isn't it? Have anyone has not at all got any disease and will not get any disease during winter, no flu vaccine? Without flu vaccine, can you survive the flu? Please put up your hand. No, you can't. Birth, death, old age, it's common to everyone. One. Two, you cannot avoid it. And what's the third one? It's forced on you. You have to accept. Right? Please take it. Take the old age. Please take the death. Please take the disease. This is how the material energy is offering you. It forces you. It's forced on an individual. Birth, death, old age, disease. Constant forcing. Not only this lifetime. Life after life. It's forced. So do you want something to be forced on you life after life? I think we should be sensible enough to take some steps. Isn't it? Right? Life after life, it's forced. Material energy works like that. So, how do you free yourself from this point, at the same time be happy? Krishna is giving techniques in Bhagavad Gita. Right? For that, one has to transcend the three modes or the material energy. Then, one establishes his own glory by situated in the transcendental energy by realizing that he is a spirit soul. And then, what happens? The material energy will not react on them. What a plan Krishna is giving them, right? See, as long as you associate with the material energy, it gives a reaction and it gives you full of anxiety. But if a person comes back, takes a step back from the material energy and puts in the spiritual energy, realizing that he's a spirit soul, then the material energy does not act on him. That does not necessarily mean that a person is not going to get old or a person is not going to die. But he will be free of anxiety and he can be happy. So, Krishna's plan is very, very intelligent and clever. So what he has done, within the material energy, three modes, he has made mode of goodness as a loophole to enter out of this universe. See, every prison has got a door, right? As a key. You can get out of the prison, right? So here, in this material world, it's a prison house. Dukkhalayam Ashashvatam. Krishna explains this point, right? It's a temporary place and full of problems. Krishna is the person who made it, you know. And he says, for example, I work in a pharmaceutical company, okay, where we make medicines, okay. The medicine is to cure a person, right? But obviously that's a trick I'm going to tell you, which we are not supposed to tell. But I will tell you what happens in our industry. We make a medicine for headache. If you take that, you get stomachache. We have got a medicine for ulcer, but if you take, you've got rheumatic problem. All the legs will start weak. Now if you take the medicine for this leg problem, then your brain will start will not work. And then they'll say you have to attend neuro and B complex and all that, and eventually they will make you buy all the brand products. All the my company's product will be bought, just if you buy one. This is how the material energy works. It's a very good deal, right? And the company is making profit. But we go to the medical shop and we are very proud. I want A of this, B of that, C of that. What is my bill? $100. Oh. In India, I heard that, you know, people have got one shelf, you know, for the medicines, you know. They'll say, my son is taking B complex, my daughter is taking A complex, and I'm taking brain complex. All this, you know, they're taking. They're proud in saying that. Pharmaceutical industry is thriving well because of they're taking undue advantage of the dissatisfaction of people. See? That is how material energy works. Undue advantage of the dissatisfaction. You have got some dissatisfaction? Come on. We will try to cure you and we'll trap you. And finish. The material energy, same thing. Finish. You know? So, it's seven kinds of problem. Birth, death, old age, disease. Then, adi bhautik, adi atmik, adi devik. Again, added on to that, you've got three more miseries. The trouble caused by the other living entities, the trouble caused by your own body and mind, and the trouble caused by demigods. They're all added. Now, all the seven kinds of suffering, do you want constantly life after life? You have to decide and make a decision. Right? If someone thinks, yes, I don't mind the seven kinds of suffering, at the same time, yeah, I'm comfortable, then material energy, fine. You can have to live with that. Or if someone takes a wise decision, no, why should I suffer? Right? Why is someone forcing something on me? Right? It's a force. So you accept the force, you know. See, the animals, they're in the mode of ignorance. They don't know. They don't know that they are going to die. But the human intelligence, right, can tell you that you are going to die. You're going to become old and die. Or, we don't know, suddenly he may go in a flight and he may land into the Atlantic Ocean instead of Indian Ocean. Close to Indian Ocean. He may land, we don't know. It's so flimsy, the life in this world, right? You can't trust anyone. I heard that even, you know, last week someone was saying, in Sydney, right? Again, there was a hostage. 8 people were shot. And this guy shot himself. See? We don't know. You go to a shopping center to buy something, and the terrorists can shoot you. So what is the guarantee of your life? The body and the soul can be separated at any time. Just think about it, you know. Any time, you know. The body is constantly changing. It's matter. This is a world of matter. Everything is matter. But because of the presence of the spirit soul, the body is changing. Childhood to boyhood. Boyhood to youth. Youth to adolescent. Adolescent to old age and death. The soul goes and takes another body. Krishna explains in the 13th chapter, right? Just as the air carries aroma. Huh? When you are in a garden, rose garden, the air carries the aroma, smell of the rose, and you get the smell of the rose, right? Just as the air carries aroma, the subtle body carries a spirit soul from one body to another body, transmigration. Who can give this clear information other than Krishna? He explains that. Many people, they don't know. They don't know what happens after death, right? Krishna very clearly says, you will get another body. But if you use your body in material energy, you get a material body. That is same, right? If you work in Australia, you get Australian dollars. If you work in India, you get Indian rupees, right? Unless, you know, you have a multi-corporation or something, you know, where they exchange all that. But general rule, you know. So if you associate with the material energy, you get material body. Simple logic. And if you associate with the spiritual energy, you get a spiritual body to go and work with Krishna. Otherwise you have to work for the pharmaceutical company here. Very simple logic. Right? Now, so a living entity, which is very, very tiny part of Krishna, tiny and insignificant, it's always controlled by some energy. Just like this child, right? The children. The children is controlled, right? Always someone is monitoring, right? So in the same way, we are children of Krishna. We are tiny. We may have a false ego like Ravana, and we think that we are very much intelligent. We are very well, you know. We have got money, we are living in Australia, we have got a permanent resident. We are all fine, okay. Right? We think like that. But Krishna sees us as a tiny, insignificant soul. There's no difference between us and the ant. You've got a big body, the ant has also a body. Ant is also eating, you're also eating. What's the big deal according to Krishna? The ants are taking from the three modes, you're also taking three modes. You are seeing three modes, ants are also saying. What's the difference? You're doing big activity which is detrimental to you. You create bombs and you stuff up people. The ant, at least, you know, it does some good thing, you know what I mean? It clears away the dust, dirty things. Right? So what's the difference? Both are in the three modes. One is big, one is small. Doesn't make any difference. Now, this tiny, insignificant soul, all of us, is always, we are children of Krishna. Krishna explains that in the 15th chapter. We are children of the Lord. Now this children has to be monitored. So the Lord is using material energy or spiritual energy for the children. If a child chooses material energy, the option is given, free will. Fine, you choose it, but you will have 7 kinds of problems. If you choose the material energy. But a person is intelligent, wise enough. Why should I suffer? I don't want to suffer. Let me opt for the spiritual energy. Then, no birth, no death, no old age, no disease. No troubles caused by your body because you get a spiritual body. No troubles caused by other living entity because in the Vaikuntha, everyone is a devotee. Why will he take a gun and shoot you? Why will he make bomb? Because he will only make agarbatti. Or he will make ghee leaks. He will not make bomb. A devotee does not have to make bomb. A devotee will not have knife. The knife is only in the kitchen for cutting vegetables. So in all ways, there is no trouble caused by the other living entity. And demigods, they are inferior to Krishna. Because they are part and parcel of Krishna, but all the energy is coming from Krishna. Right? So the demigods are below Krishna, but above us. So we are stuck in a situation where we have to be troubled by the demigods. But if you go to Krishna Loka, Vaikuntha, then the demigods are below, so they cannot exercise that power. So that's also safe. So seven kinds of problem eradicated by going into the spiritual energy. What a deal. What a deal. Krishna is giving. Very good deal. But remember, you are not free. You are always controlled by either material energy or spiritual energy. Unfortunately. Because you are very tiny. You think you are big because of the false ego. So what's the real ego? The real ego is to become a servant of Krishna. Surrender to the Lord, the Supreme Lord, who is the greatest of everyone, who is the greatest of the greatest, who is the Lord of everyone, who is Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. What is wrong in surrender? We surrender to people, Bollywood actor, because someone has got a beauty or someone has got a money. Krishna is the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, who has got all the opulences. What is wrong in surrendering to a person who has got all the beauty, all the knowledge, all the wealth, famous, strength? What is wrong? You are not surrendering to a person who is weak, who does not have knowledge. What is wrong? We have to ask ourselves this question. Right? We are intelligent. What is wrong in surrendering to Krishna? Anything wrong? By surrendering to Krishna, what are the advantages you get? Very easy process given by Srila Prabhupada, right? A person who has got intelligence, a person who has got wealth, a person who is very strong will protect you. What's the difficulty here? Surrendering to Krishna. Gajendra, the elephant, was very powerful. He has got, you know, he's a king of the elephant. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, one of our scripture. Very, very powerful. He's got, you know, so many elephant queens. He thought, okay, Monday is a public holiday, I'll go for a vacation. I'll go to Geelong. The weather is also high, more. So I'll go to Geelong Water Resort. I'll cool myself. Nothing wrong. So Gajendra thought like that. So he went to a cold resort where I'll bathe with my queens. You know, some. How many queens? 10,000 queens? Big. It's a big elephant, very powerful, you know. So they were all taking bath, nicely enjoying in the waterfall. Right? In the pond. Little did Gajendra know that just one step, if I put further, the crocodile is waiting for me. Crocodile. He did not know. He was happily, you know. So the material world is like that. Just there is only one step. You are going to get some problems. But we are happy now. Enjoying. You know. That one step is there. You have to wait. It may be 1 year. It may be 2 years. But that step is there. You are going to get problems. Dukkalayam ashashvatam. Right? It's a matter of time. Okay? Because material world is functioning based on time, which is an impersonal aspect of the Lord. The Lord controls you in all aspects because you are his dear child. Not that he wants to threaten you. Right? Your child, you know how well you take care, isn't it? In the same way, all energies, Krishna, is just to help us to come to him. It's not to threaten, okay? Krishna is not a threatening God. There is no, you know, a weapon in his hand. You see other gods, right? They got weapon, you know. Come on, if you don't worship him. Krishna has got a flute. No problem. He's not a threatening God. He's a loving God. So this Gajendra, slowly they're enjoying. And then he put the first step. The next step, which is the dangerous step for all of us. That step, that thing, we realize we should not have done it. That step, right? For all of us, very important step. It could be anything. And that step, Gajendra put that step. That crocodile caught Gajendra. See, the peculiarity of a crocodile is, in water the crocodile is very powerful, but on land it's weak. But the elephant is stronger on the land, but weaker in water. Right? There may be some moments when we are very weak and the crocodile will attack us. We are not strong all the time. Right? Now when the crocodile attacked, Gajendra thought, come on, I am the strongest. I don't need anyone's support. Right? I can fight with the crocodile on my own. Like all of us, right? If there is any problem, oh, I can solve this problem. Why do you trouble Krishna for this? Let Krishna, you know, enjoy. I can fix up my problems. Correct? We can all fix up our problems. The same thing Gajendra thought. I'll fix up my problem. And then, what happened? As he was fighting, which was going on for a number of years, not one day, Gajendra started losing his strength. It's becoming weak. And the crocodile was becoming stronger. Still, Gajendra thought, I'm okay. And he was trying to ask help from his family members. They were also trying to help initially. Then they talk, you die. I will go, you know. Why I should die because of you? See? Material energy. When you suffer, only you have to suffer. Correct? But when you enjoy, all your friends will come. Hey, how are you? Suffering, you have to suffer all by yourself. That is how the law of nature works. When you die, you have to die alone. You may love your wife. You may love your children. You can't carry them. You can't leave them too. With you. You can't take them. So, what happens? You have to die on your own. So in the same way, you know, Gajendra was losing hope. Then what happened? Slowly he was thinking, yes, the Lord of the Lords, my Lord, is my only Savior. I tried my strength first. It did not work. I tried my family members, it did not work. And my friends, relatives, no one helped me. Now, my only savior is the Lord, who is the controller of the material energy. He is my only protector. So intense prayer. A devotee prays intensely, you know, and that attracts the Lord. Right? The Lord has to be attracted. If you want attention, right, we have to really say, Prabhu, you, then me, like that. So attention, intense. Because of the intense attraction, the Lord did. Lord could have sent only Garuda. You go and tackle. He's more powerful. The Garuda is as powerful as the Lord. Lord's carrier. But the Lord came to protect an animal. Just an animal, elephant. Right? But when a supreme lord, you know, when a prime minister is, you know, when there is some disaster or something, first the prime minister sends his personal assistant. Right? He will not come. And then when the disaster is very, very severe, then the prime minister comes with the helicopter. Right? Everything is safe. Nothing will happen. I will not die. Okay, then the helicopter land. He will land. But the Lord, the affectionate father of everyone, the father of every living entity, the Supreme Lord, he came and then immediately he rescued him, Gajendra. Now we also can be rescued in any problems. But that is why we need prayer. We have to pray intensely to the Lord. See, the acharyas and the pure devotees, they have prayed, okay? And by their intense love and devotion, Krishna has granted them boons, benedictions, help. We have seen that time and again in the history. And not only that, also in the scriptures, that Draupadi, intense prayer. The Pandavas, you know, very, very powerful. They could not help Draupadi. Then the Supreme Lord, Govinda, helped. Kunti Devi's prayers, you know, so intense and powerful. Right? Now, we should not make prayers, but we can pray the prayers which they have sung or they created. It's very important that we create. In that way, they have already established a contact with the Lord. And by prayer, the Lord already, you know, will be favorable and He will turn towards us. Sometimes most of us, when we stand in front of the deity, we don't know whether to pray or not to pray. That is our position. Right? So, we can pray, we should pray by repeating the prayers of great Vaishnavas, pure devotees of the Lord. The best prayer would be, Lord, please take my ignorance. Right? I think that this place is a place of enjoyment, but it's a place of suffering. Please remove that ignorance and give me knowledge. What is knowledge? You know, I referred to the point sometime back, right? You know how in the material world, the mode of goodness is the only loophole, right? To get out, like a door. Otherwise, we are prison house, we cannot escape. The Lord has kindly created the mode of goodness. Now, the mode of goodness means knowledge. That is our mode of goodness. Knowledge, and because of knowledge, you are happy. So what is that knowledge? That knowledge is not material knowledge, for your kindest information. Because material knowledge is available in the mode of passion and ignorance, right? People are also happy, mode of ignorance. They do some nonsense happy, that's material knowledge. But mode of goodness means the knowledge which will make you detached from this world. As long as you are attached to the world, it's only mode of passion and ignorance, distress and unhappy. So mode of goodness means the knowledge that you are not this body and you are a spirit soul. Only that knowledge will help you out to get out of the material world. No other knowledge will help you out. So the mode of goodness is a loophole Krishna has created within this universe to get out. Unless someone is fixed on the mode of goodness, it's very difficult for devotion service. Because mode of passion, ignorance, constantly pull, you know, down. Mode of goodness means steadiness. So through the mode of goodness, easy to go up. Very easy. So one should stick on to the mode of goodness. Now how does the mode of goodness come? By reading book? Practice. You have to practice. Follow the four regulative principles to come out of the material energy. Follow the devotional rules like taking only prasadam, chanting 16 rounds, reading scriptures to get the spiritual aspect or the spiritual potency to get attached to Krishna. So you have to leave the material energy to get attached to Krishna. So four regulative principles is a must to come out of the material energy. It's a rule. Think it as a rule. And then taking only prasadam, simple process. Chanting 16 rounds and reading scriptures to get attached to Krishna, because that gives spiritual aspect. Taking prasadam, completely spiritual. Chanting 16 rounds, mind will be completely free of impurities, and then reading scriptures, spiritual intelligence. Because Krishna says in the chapter 3, only with spiritual intelligence you can conquer material senses. You should know that you are the spirit soul or you are not this body. Otherwise, how do you? If you don't know that you are not this body, then obviously, you know, it's very difficult. So one is to get out of the material energy, other one is to get the spiritual energy, a spiritual aspect of the Lord, to get attached to Him. So in this way, slowly you come out and get attached. That is why in the previous yugas, right, there was Vedic system. Vedic system means moving from body to soul, moving from matter to spirit. The system was like that. It was created. For example, in the other yugas, you know, like Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga. In Satya Yuga, mode of goodness completely, predominantly mode of goodness. There may be some demons who will trouble us. That will be in the mode of ignorance for some time. And then mode of goodness, like that. Like summer, all the time. Not like Melbourne winter. So all the time it will be like that. Then, you know, it will drop, you know. Then it will drop. Mode of goodness to passion. Ignorance. Kali Yuga's ignorance. Or mode of passion. City life. Mode of passion. Because whatever you do is sinful activity. You have to suffer for that. ~33 million demigods are watching our reactions. They are giving action. Reaction. It's a very, very serious. One is not free. It's constantly monitored. Every reaction. So one should be very careful, right? So this Vedic life, or Krishna consciousness, or mode of goodness, right? Slowly elevate a person from, move a person from matter to spirit. And moving from matter to spirit is a big job. It's not overnight. You sleep, you get up, and you are soul. No. You have to make a beginning. You have to start the process. If you want a job, you have to study. You have to look for a job. You have to go for an interview. Then you get, correct? Now no one is going to come and give you a job. So spiritual life is a practical activity, like the material activity. If you want to live comfortably, you earn, you buy a house, you pay the mortgage. This is not Hare Krishna temple to give you free residence. One has to work for it outside. Otherwise, devotee, yes. One has to work hard for that money. In the same way, spiritual is a spiritual activity. You do to please Krishna. That's the only difference. See, non-devotee, devotee, we discussed previously. What's the difference? Same body. A devotee and non-devotee, what's the difference? Same body. He's got the same hands, same mind, intelligence. Right? And 20 years back, someone would have been a non-devotee. Now he's a devotee. Same body. Because you're a devotee, you've been there, you get 4 hands? Or 8 legs? No. What happens? The activity changes. Activity. Because of the activity, the subtle body, mind, intelligence, false ego is cleared. Remember again, going back to the Bhagavad Gita verse, the subtle body, like the air carries aroma, the subtle body carries the spirit soul from one body to another body. So this Krishna conscious process means cleaning your subtle body, not your gross body. Gross body will be burnt anyway. The subtle body is the one that's giving you gross bodies. So clean that process. So the mind is clean by chanting, intelligence is clean by spiritual education, and you're doing service. So the false ego, as a controller and enjoyer of the material world, will change to the servant of Krishna. And then, guess what? Spiritual body. No more 7 kinds of suffering. You will be always young. You will never grow old. No disease. You need not have to go to the doctor or pharmaceutical company. What a deal, right? So, that's the deal Krishna is giving. So, we will take up the deal. And just a point on the prayer that struck me. The prayer is normally used, you know, it's a very good thing you can do for the Lord, you know, for ourselves also. Prayer actually comprises, or you can say, comprises of three parts. That is, to invoke blessings, purity, and auspiciousness. See, in ISKCON, we've got full of prayers. Anyway, before eating, there's a prayer. Before offering, there's a prayer. Right? And Guru, you know, prayer. So many prayers you've got. Before starting Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a prayer. You're full of prayers. Right? That invokes auspiciousness, purity, and, you know, blessings from the Lord. So I'll wind up this. So what does it say? Vidura was born from the body of Vyasadeva and was no less than he. Thus he accepted the lotus feet of Krishna wholeheartedly and was attached to his devotees. Okay, so we'll stop here. Is there any quick questions, comments, or corrections? Okay, we'll stop.
What does this baby wash mean?
Demigods, they are more than humans, because it says demigod, they're powerful, you know. For example, you know how, are you from India, are you? Which part of India? You know, we call Surya, you know, Surya, Chandra, you know, right, sun god, they are demigods. So their activities are in the mode of goodness. See, a sun will not cause problems to you, isn't it? The sun every day, it rises and it gives you light and heat. In the same way, the moon, Chandra, is a demigod. It gives you nourishment for the fruits, you know, it makes you cool, you know, it's good for the mind, like that. And Varuna is a water god, Vayu is air god, right? They are all demigods. Now in India, what we do is, we think that these demigods are gods, right? So our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, has differentiated who is a god, who is a demigod, like that, right? They are also Ishvara, they are also controller. But they are controlling a small group of people. And that power comes from Krishna. So Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. There are different gods, okay? And out of the god, there is a head. And that is Bhagavan. There's only one Bhagavan, and that is Krishna. Right? So all the energies are coming from him. So there is one god, but there are many demigods. There are 33 million demigods to manage the activity of your body. Do you realize that? For example, if you want to move your hand, there are 5 demigods have to sanction that. Then your hand will come up. Do you realize that? No. If the demigods don't give you permission, then the hand you cannot move. Then you have paralytic attack or something like that. Because the demigod will not obey to help you out. You know what I mean? So if a particular demigod is not active, you cannot see. So this body is a gift of the god, because you have gone through 8.4 million species of life. Various species, sometimes like the dog, as a tree, as a snake, as a dog, you know, as a cow and all that. So finally, because you took lot of trouble, because of the mercy of the Lord, arrangement of the material energy, you got this body. Now that body should not be misused. It should be used in the service of Krishna. Slowly and gradually. Not jumping, you know. Try to come here. Take prasadam. Chant Krishna's name. You know, slowly understanding. So that is that. So demigods are getting power from Krishna, but they are not gods. They are controlling to some degree, but the real controller is Krishna. He is a Swayam Bhagavan. He is a Sarva Karana Karana. He is a cause of all causes. Brahma, he sings, he chants in Brahma Samhita that Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana. So Lord Krishna is an avatari. He is not avatar. All the avatars are coming from him. He is a Swayam Bhagavan. All the incarnation is coming from Krishna. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanand.